Jahni Broome comes back, and Auburn wins another top 10 matchup. Yes, sir. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and you'll have to forgive my voice a little bit. At the game last night, incredible environment, vocal cords strained a little bit. So we're going to battle through this. We're going to talk about Auburn taking down Tennessee, the number six Tennessee Volunteers, 53-51 in an absolute slugfest. It was one of the most physical basketball games I've ever seen. Jahni Broome comes back, not only comes back, but plays 33 minutes, is the best player on the court. Auburn hangs on despite shooting one of the worst shooting performances I've seen from them in quite a while, but it doesn't matter. You just got to win, and Auburn does that again, improves to 6-0 in conference. A lot of fun stuff to talk about, but before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to thebarnauburn.com. During these basketball games, we have these basketball game threads, and it is a lot of fun. A lot of fun jumping these threads. It's almost like you're getting commentary back and forth. It's a lot of fun. And that's among other things at the Barn. Information, community, a lot of fun stuff. You got to check it out. You get $25 off for 2025 of your annual membership. So get an annual membership for $75. It'll carry you all the way through the year, get you through all the rest of the basketball season, football season, recruiting, portal, everything. Take advantage of that savings and check us out at thebarnauburn.com. Jahni Broome returns in I don't want to say it was a complete surprise. We heard Thursday that we heard that he practiced. That was not a secret that he practiced, but caught wind that it was a little bit more than just a rehab type practice. It was a little bit more than just, let's see what I can do. Like, it was part of the game plan. Like, I think there was, from Thursday, once they figured out he could move around, he was going to play the whole time. Like, he was going to play Thursday. I'm sorry. He was going to play after the Thursday practice. And not only does he play, but he goes in and he plays 33 minutes and has a double-double. Now, he has had some time off. So, like, it's not like he's just fresh off of an injury and thrown in there. He's had, 2 weeks or so to rehab. He's missed two games. And he comes back, and honestly, you could tell he was gimpy a little bit, and he's probably a little bit rusty too. He was not incredibly efficient offensively. I think he was – he came off the bench too. So he was 7 of 19. So just under 50% from the field. He did hit a three. Not very great from the line, but I mean, 16 points, 13 rebounds, the biggest assist of the game. And then defense. He was incredible on defense. 4 blocks. He just, he's the best player in college basketball. Even hobbled, he's the best player in college basketball. It's, you could tell how much he means to this team. You can tell how much he means to this conference. He's just unreal. And that's two times now where he's had some pretty serious injuries, and he's come back and played like pretty quickly and played for extended minutes. We always said before the season, we hoped he would play more than, 25 minutes a game. And he's doing that. This year, he's putting in all the work, going hard, competing. That was a very physical basketball game. For someone that is coming off of an ankle injury, wow, what a game to have to jump back into. There was crazy fouls left and right. The second half, you could hardly get any flow whatsoever because it was just foul. But Auburn pulls it out, 53-51. This is another impact of Jahni Broome that's so incredibly huge. Great players are not only just great players from a basketball standpoint, like they can score, they can rebound, but great players understand the game. Great players have high basketball IQs, and Jahni made two crucial, very high-level basketball IQ plays in back-to-back I think back-to-back defensive series in a back-to-back defensive series at the end of the game that honestly really helped win Auburn the game. So Auburn's down 2 points. I guess you could call three plays. So Auburn's down 3 points. You got to go under a minute. You got to go score to tie it. They ran a really good play, got a broom and open look, but he got kind of crossed up, missed a shot, but got his own rebound, found Miles Kelly, and Miles Kelly hit the three to take the lead. Rick Barnes lets them play. Okay, so Rick Barnes lets them play. He didn't call a timeout, so they go to play. Miss a shot. Janai gets the rebound and immediately calls a timeout. And I know some people are like, why the heck did he call that timeout? Why did he call that timeout? You're up by one. Let the clock run. Why do you call a timeout there? Why don't you try to pass it out? Several reasons. Okay. Number one, you can't have a turnover there. You can't have a travel. You know they're going to trap you. And he's not the best ball handler. And he had his back to everybody. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, they're going to try to foul immediately, and he knows that. And he's not the best free throw shooter. You're only up 1 point. If he gets fouled, he gets two shots. They could have another shot to win the game if he doesn't make both of his free throws. And then the other thing is obviously just the turnover thing. You can't turn the ball over. You don't want to risk a pass when you have three guys around you. I thought it was pure genius, honestly. The biggest thing was the obviously call a timeout so you can get the ball out of his hands because they're going to foul. And they ended up fouling Tahad Pettiford, who only went 1 of 2 from the line, which is what you're afraid of from Broome. But regardless, the odds of that happening are not, you know, very, very high. And he could have missed both. He was only 1 of 3 from the line. So incredibly smart play there. So that can't be overlooked. That's a small thing in the game that had huge ramifications at the most important time. Then the next defensive possession, they miss a shot and he gets a rebound. And remember, we're like 13 seconds at this point in time. He gets the rebound, and as he's sort of like jostling for the ball, he just throws it down the court, but not so far that it goes all the way out of bounds. He throws it just out of the reach of everybody because he knows Tennessee's got to score. So there's no outlet defender. Everybody's crashing to try to get the ball because they got to get the ball and try to score to tie the game. So he lobs it just past half court and runs the clock out. He could have gotten fouled again. He could have traveled. Honestly, he probably did travel. He probably did travel. He probably got fouled, both of those things. But he got rid of the ball, understanding the situation, understanding that I just need seconds to start ticking. And that's what happened. He flipped it down the court, and by the time somebody got to it, the clock had expired. So just two incredibly heady basketball plays down the stretch from your senior, from your leader who's been out that were crucial. That are crucial plays that help kind of win the game. It was those are the two things that I'll remember from that whole game. It's fun to watch a team. It's fun to watch a player understand the situation, and you can do those you have those basketball IQ moments to where you sort of outsmart the other team, and it's seemingly small on the surface, but then when you really look at it and look at all the details surrounding it, you can tell how big of an impact it actually made. So the timeout I thought was genius, and then flipping the ball down the court was also just super heady. Great, great play. I really thought he could have got called for a travel there. We got a little bit lucky. But who cares? Who cares? You win. Tennessee goes home with a loss. I think there may be 3-3 in the conference now. Still a really good basketball team. Golly, they're good. Auburn's defense is incredible. And we're going to talk about defense in just a little bit, but there's two things that I learned about this team in this game. One is a little bit better. One's a little bit better than the other. So the first thing that I learned about this team is that they can win when things are bad. They can still win games when things are bad. If you would have told me Auburn held Tennessee to 51 points, I would have thought Auburn won by 35 points. Because I didn't think, you just don't expect this team to have that type of output. But even when things were wrong and they were terrible on offense. Again, one of the worst offensive performances, I think. One of the worst offensive performances I can remember in quite a while. Not just from a points perspective, but shooting, turnovers. Turnovers weren't terrible. He had 11. But just, gosh, it was bad. But the Auburn still wins. They figure out ways to win games. The last game, you could say, against Georgia, Auburn didn't play well, but they still shot 43% from three against Georgia. So we're talking about nothing is going right on offense, okay? At least you were shooting it high from a high clip from three at Georgia, and you've been doing that all year. Even when you may go in a little bit of a slump, you're still hitting threes at a high rate. Auburn was 3 of 20 from three against Tennessee. Nothing was going right on offense, and you still figured out a way to win. Defense is incredible. Denver Jones is going to get a lot of heat for his offensive performance, and understandably so. He struggled. I don't think he hit a shot. He was 0 of 8 from the field. But Zakai Ziegler is a very good scorer. Zakai Ziegler shoots over 30% from the field. He shoots over 30% from three. And Chad held him to, I'm sorry, Denver held him to 4 of 15 from the field. For people asking, why is he playing so many minutes and why is Tahad not playing so many minutes? This is the reason why. Zakai Ziegler played 39 minutes and took 15 shots. And he only made 4 of them. Okay? That's why. That is why Denver Jones is playing as many minutes as he could. What happens if Tahad plays 25, 30 minutes? Maybe Zakai is still cold as he is. But I got a feeling, you know, if he just goes 8 of 15 or 7 of 15, if he just goes 7 of 15, Tennessee wins. He got the most shots up out of anybody. And he did score 14 points, but he took 15 shots and he got 6 free throws. So again, just the defensive effort that this team has is incredible. It really is. They just continue. They don't let up ever on the defensive side. Even you had two guys get in foul trouble. You had Chad Baker and Miles Kelly. Get a little bit into foul trouble. Tahad got 2 fouls early and had to – that was another reason. He got 2 fouls early and had to sit out a good bit. But they just crash the boards. They deny like crazy, and they're just in your face, and they make every shot. You have to earn it. I just can't – there weren't many just wide-open looks, I feel like, that Tennessee got all game. It's just crazy. They play incredible defense. I think that's how they win when things – aren't going well on offense. The second thing I learned is this team could have one of these games. I would have never expected this team to have this poor of a shooting game. I mean, you're averaging, you know, close to 40% from three and you go 3 of 20. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know Denver Jones could go 0 of 5 from three, and he got some really good looks. Got to get him out of this slump. He is in a little bit of a slump offensively. He's so incredibly talented on the defensive end. But, man, he's got to get out of that. We got to have him. We got to have him as a scorer. We got to have him as a shooter. We got to have him as a shooting threat. We can't let this get into his head to where he's hesitant. We got to have him pulling the trigger. And over the last 4 games – Over the last 5 games, he's 3 of 9, 14, 15, 3 of 18. That is not good. That is not good at all. And that's coming off a stretch of shooting damn near 70% from 3 over like the previous, you know, 5 games where we're just beating people by like 30 points. Like that's what we need from Denver. So the offensive side obviously has to get better, but from Denver, but I just never expected us to be able to have that poor of an offensive output. If Jani Broome doesn't play tonight, I don't know that Auburn can win this game. I don't even know that it's close. It was a very, very rough offensive effort. My granddad always used to say when we were watching a football game, when you had like a quarterback that completes 70% of his passes, and maybe he goes out in the first half and he's only like, what, 5 of 15. He's always like, just wait for it. Just wait for the second half. The 70% is going to work itself out. It just never worked itself out in this game. I told people, I was like, we're going to score 50 in the second half. Like, there's no way, there's no possible way that this team can shoot that bad. There's just no way. They're too good. They're too good from three. But they just didn't. They couldn't hit shots. Couldn't get really good. I don't even really want to say they couldn't get good clean looks. They were getting good looks. They just weren't hitting them. Missing a lot point blank. It was just a really, really bad offensive output. And it's not something that I ever expected that this team could do, even on a bad day. But maybe they can turn, you know, because this is the worst, this is the floor that you can see. Yes, that's concerning that this is actually, that's actually the floor, but it's so rare that you got to feel like this is going to be definitely the exception and not the rule. I mean, they did have a week off. There are some things to shake off Russ-wise. You have been playing without Jani Broom, so you got to work back into being used to playing around him. And I'm sure everybody's hype for the game. Threes were a little bit long a lot of times. Denver's threes were long. I don't know if he was juiced or what. Miles, he did hit two big threes, obviously the game-winning three, but even his threes were a little bit off, the two that he missed. Tahad, his threes were way off. So I don't know if it's just being amped for the game or what, but just a really bad shooting night. But again, I don't think it's a cause for concern because this is just so abnormal for this team that I think they'll easily bounce back. You go to LSU on Tuesday and, you know, get you that bounce back game and you'll be ready to go, be back after it, back scoring and back having, you know, having fun again. So not that we didn't have fun this past evening. It was a lot of fun, incredible atmosphere. You just got to win. At this point in time, you just win. Who cares? Style points, this is not the BCS. Your resume is incredible. You're a lock for the NCAA tournament. You don't have to go win by 20-plus points to get into the tournament. You're in. Now you just got to win, and that way you can get into that top seed conversation, which I feel like Auburn should be cemented at the top right now, even with maybe a loss. I listened to Joe Lenard, and he said that even if Auburn were to lose this game, they would still be solidified for the time being as the number one overall seed. Well, they won it, so that helps, you know, carry you that much even further. So at this point in time, all you have to worry about is winning, not how you do it. Yes, you got to get better. Yes, you got to shoot better, but you just got to figure out ways to win. And in the SEC, that's valuable every single game. So we go to LSU on Tuesday, and then we go to Ole Miss, which Ole Miss, I believe, just dropped one at Missouri. So they're going to be reeling. They're going to be ready to bounce back and try to maintain their top 20 ranking. But, yeah, it doesn't get any easier. LSU's not great. Gosh, Ole Miss lost three in a row. So yeah, they're going to be chomping at the bit to come up with a win, and Auburn's going to come in number one. So you're going to get their best, and they're a good team. I don't care what I know they've lost three in a row. They've lost three ranked games. They beat Alabama, and then they played four top 22 teams in a row, and they're 1-3 in those. So they're going to be ready to bounce back. So another tough week ahead. It's good to see Jani back and doing what he does, and that's just continuing to be the best player in the country. And every time he goes out, he shows you that. Except maybe the South Carolina game where he got hurt. He was that was the worst game I've ever seen him play, I think. But he comes in hobbled, plays 33 minutes, and has a double double. And it's just funny if you do the math. Bruce said he had a triple-double. He had 16 points, 13 rebounds and 12 missed shots. So he had a triple double. He did miss 12 shots based off the number 7 of 19. But look, you got the win, and that's all that matters. So we'll see what happens the rest of the week. We'll be live tonight with hopefully Zach and Dap, and we'll be talking football. We'll be talking basketball. We'll be talking some football and all kind of stuff. So y'all definitely make sure you stay tuned and check that out a little bit later this evening. And let's keep winning. Let's keep this train rolling, guys. I appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Let me know your thoughts about the game in the comments, and we'll do it again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.